From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear and 54 low. Tomorrow, sunny and 77. And then by Friday, a chance of showers, otherwise partly sunny and 74 degrees. 71 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here. We always appreciate you making Inside Douglas County part of your lunchtime, part of your routine around the Umpqua Valley and beyond. For those listening from other areas online as well. Another check-in today with a lawmaker that represents parts of Douglas County, State Representative David Brock Smith. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Appreciate the opportunity, Kyle. Thank you.
First of all, in the past, about 90 minutes ago, the governor began a press conference talking about Phase 2 guidelines for reopening. That was still going at about noon, and information is slowly being added to a website that we have linked with our story at 541radio.com about some of the guidance for different sectors of both business and recreational activities, faith-based gatherings, and other things in the state. I'm curious if you got a chance to see any of that presentation this morning.
Thank you, Kyle. No, I watched about the first 40 minutes of it. Of course, the governor can never get on the press conference scheduled online on time. And so I had to skip off and move to another conference call.
Well, one of the things this morning, and I will say as well that for somebody who has to deal with a clock and news, and normally when you say begins at 11, I think about things starting at 11. But just to be fair, President Trump has been doing the same thing with his press conferences, and none of those have started on time for quite some time either. So I guess that's a bipartisan problem. But that aside, talking about Phase 2 and some restrictions being relaxed for some of the business community, allowing for more activities. She talked about bars and restaurants being able to be open till midnight, bowling alleys, pools, theaters, some recreational sports allowed to resume with social distancing, the faith-based organizations being allowed to meet in larger groups based on a square footage formula and the size of the facility, and more social activities being allowed to take place as well. What was your overall thoughts about watching the first part of the presentation?
No, I'm happy that we're moving forward and opening up our economies. I mean, as a former restaurateur myself, having a bar in 45-year family restaurant and bar in Port Orford, it would be very difficult for me to open up my establishment and provide services at a limit. I'm excited that bowling alleys are going to be opening up. I know that that's been hurting over in Roseburg and North Bend and elsewhere. I'm a little frustrated the folks. I have the utmost compassion for George Floyd, for example, and his family and what has occurred there. And I think that the officers need to be involved, need to be fully prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, that is moving forward. But I'm very concerned as we have the protests around Oregon, which I'm fully in favor of the First Amendment and their peaceable right to protest, that we're going to have we could have an insurgence of COVID, considering the masses and the number of people and the inability to do the contact tracing that is necessary, that we have all moved forward with. So I'm glad that that our rural communities have been not a part of the giant gatherings that occurred in the metropolitan area, that we've had some peaceful gatherings in our communities in Roseburg and Brookings yesterday and all across rural Oregon, so that we can maintain our phase opening statuses and allow our businesses and their employees and in our communities to get back to work and move forward through this pandemic.
It's been an interesting situation to evolve, to watch evolve. As somebody said at the front end of all of this, none of us that are alive now have really gone through a situation quite like this, and the repercussions have hit in a lot of areas very hard. As a lawmaker, I know there's some dire predictions, dire numbers out there as to the, not just for a few months, but for a few years, the impact to the state budget, the state coffers.
Indeed, billions. If there's some silver linings, it's this. You know, the walkout that I know that you covered in our protest to a cap and trade program that would devastate the economies of rural Oregon, when rural Oregon is the areas of the state that actually sequesters urban Oregon's greenhouse gas emissions, was and the close of session and subsequently doing so saved over $1 billion in the state budgets that now can be used to move forward in helping backfill the COVID deficits that are going to occur. And I know in moving forward, we're going to have some serious questions in how we're going to make sure, as Senator Hurd and Representative Leaf and myself have been pushing strongly to make sure that those CARES Act funding comes to our rural communities and rural counties and the local jurisdictions involved, so that we can have the resources to stand up those departments and local entities that are necessary for public services for our citizens.
I know at last check, when I asked the question, one of our county commissioners, they put out a large amount of money for what needed to be done, but they pointed out that they had not seen any come back and were not particularly encouraged about some of that headed back their way, whereas on the flip side, some had already gone to Portland and the metropolitan area counties.
Indeed. So the bill allowed for, the federal bill, allowed for counties and municipalities that have over 500,000 in population to have direct access to that funding. They did. And so we have been fighting tooth and nail to try to release those funds for our other rural areas and counties and local jurisdictions in the state. We're making some progress. The governor has formed a work group on how those funds will be dispersed. The delay has been, frankly, because the governor is responsible for the disbursements of that funding, and now that we have the federal guidelines associated with what that funding can be used for and more defined areas, we're working to get those dollars back to our communities. And some of those dollars that we're pushing for, of course, is to help our small businesses in our communities in the form of grants, so that we can help prop them up and get them through these devastating times and the phases that they're going through as we speak.
For most of us that being in central Douglas County right now, talk about maybe the differences about the impact on the south and south central Oregon coast without tourists and with some other things drying up more.
Well, the Oregon coast is very different than the valley. We're a tourism-driven economy. We have a lot of similarities as well. You know, I mean, the natural resource industries built our communities and are meant to sustain them. And we've been forced out of that natural resource base and more to move to a tourism-driven base. But with the physical distancing requirements, it's difficult for Jerry's jet boats, for example, to run with the limited seating capacity within our restaurants, and it's difficult for some of them to open because they just can't cut the bottom line that they would in the recovery. The local folks on the coast, the counties and the cities closed the transient lodging back in April to prevent the surge that occurred on the North Coast from folks coming over and visiting. And they were not only, you know, they didn't really have any place to eat because the restaurants and so forth were closed. And so there's a limited number of supplies in our local grocery stores, for example. And so it just exacerbated that problem as well. But we have a situation on the coast where our fishing community has been devastated because the processors haven't been buying, per se, because we don't have any restaurants that were serving fish. We don't have we have abundance of crab in the freezers of those processors, because a lot of those catering events throughout the state and the nation, really, were locked down. And so the fallout and just the fishing economy in those communities is going to be years in the making as well, as they start to open those things back up but already have the resource. The cost of that will be much lower and impacting those fishers in the future.
What kind of improvements have you seen, or maybe bright spots, in the 19 days of being in phase one for a lot of the counties as folks are starting to reopen?
Well, I mean, businesses have opened up to the limited capacity that they can. There's some businesses that have taken the time to reinvent themselves, if you will, and move forward on remodeling projects or so forth. And the people in our communities are happy to get out of their homes and recreate more and go. I can't tell you how many posts I saw on social media that they were just elated to sit down in a restaurant and have a meal again. I'm involved in my local community with the Common Good and helping them make sure that we have those resources for the folks that are less fortunate. And I can tell you, just a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, there was over 120 folks in just our small community of Port Orford of 1,100 people that came through the line to get meat and produce and vegetables and so forth. So people are hurting, and they need to get back to work so that they can, they can help their own family. I just signed on to a letter that will be coming out requesting resources from the CARES Act funding to stand up our child care individuals within our rural communities, so that when we do have people go back to work, they have the child care opened up that they need so that they can work. So lots going on, as you can imagine.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative David Brock-Smith, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248. Back in 90 seconds on News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson Show coming up at 1. KQEN Local Talk at 4. Today, the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we'll talk to Roseburg Public Library Director Chris Wiley and staff person Aurora Oberg, get you an update on what the library is able to offer, and also their summer reading program, which is beginning Monday for kids. We'll talk more about that. State Representative David Brock-Smith on. Now, we are still in the House in the midst of what apparently is elongated legislative days just because of the technology. What's normally 3 days of legislative days, I understand, is taking significantly longer.
It is, and it is because of the technology. We have Microsoft Teams that the legislature and the state has been using, and they only can use or run one committee meeting at a time. So Those legislative days are taking longer for those reasons.
And what kinds of things have you been involved in some of the committees you're on that's been meeting virtually?
Oh, so I'm in the legislature. I'm everything natural resources. I'm on the Natural Resources Committee, the Agricultural Land Use Committee, and Energy and Environment. As you might remember, we passed our what we call the Ag Ditch Bill back in 2019, which is for our farmers and ranchers across the state, that allows them to clean out their agricultural ditches greater than 50 cubic yards a year, which is quite a feat. But we've been dealing with a number of things. In fact, we moved forward and the governor approved recently the additional resources for, I think it's up to $30 million for our agricultural members in our state to meet the OSHA guidelines that have, and OHA guidelines that have been laid out for our farming community. That those costs associated would have been devastating without state resources and help. And it's, of course, to protect those farm workers from COVID. But we pushed hard and were successful in making sure those resources came to those farmers and ranchers, because they wouldn't have been able to meet and or get their products out if we wouldn't have moved forward with that. That's just one thing. We are going to be having a special session coming forward, and you might have remembered a meat processing piece of legislation that I've been working on, and of course it was moving in the short session before that session died, but we're reviving it to bring it forward for our ranchers in hopefully a special session. It would allow the state to move forward with a statewide meat inspection program. And there, as you remember, federally, we had a big issue during COVID with those meat processors and getting that protein to market. And so we're hopeful that with the work of Congressman Walden and Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, that we can get some federal resources to help stand up these smaller meat processors around the state, so that we can have better access for our ranchers to have the ability to get their product to market, and we can ensure that we have protein coming from local ranchers in Oregon to our markets and our local residents.
You mentioned two words there that caught my attention: special session. Where are we at on that?
Well, I was on a caucus call today, and there is our leadership and the Senate leadership, and of course the House Democrat leadership, as well as the Senate Democrat leadership, have begun those conversations. I understand there's an initial list that I have not seen. But according to my leader, there's a smorgasbord of issues on that shouldn't be involved in a special session. And so those conversations are just beginning, and I wish I had more details on that, but I don't at this time.
A lot of the lawmakers I've talked to from both sides of the aisle have been interested in that, especially during the executive orders and this COVID-19 and the potential need to even do this virtually, possibly. But I've been feeling like, because of some of the limitations of some of the technology, that they really haven't been able to have their voice heard in some of the conference calls that they've been involved in.
Well, no, they haven't. I mean, you saw the media reports of the, I mean, my staff has been doing an amazing job at helping people connect with their UI benefits that they deserve. That has, the governor and that department has failed our folks here in the state. So when the UI director, and of course everyone read the media reports on that debacle, and we pushed back, and of course the chair of that revenue committee then of course had another special meeting on Saturday. Senator Wyden came out on Friday with a scathing letter regarding the unemployment director And then the governor, accepted her resignation on Sunday. But now you have a situation where my staff is continue to be overwhelmed because they've really passed the buck on that. And now the unemployment department is asking the legislative staffers in the building to go above and beyond in trying to help these folks, where we've already answered the emails, we've already sent the information to the unemployment department personnel, and now they're asking us to redo all of that. And we have, my staff was working until midnight last night trying to process those, I know, 2 o'clock in the morning, she told me this morning, trying to process those requests so that the UI department has the new information that they've already received. It's very frustrating. It reminds me that it's just a delay tactic and passing the buck. And I'm sorry to say that, but we're going to work hard to make sure that they have all the updated information so that these Oregonians can get their UI benefits and the food in their families' bellies, basically.
20 seconds left. Final thoughts you want to share with folks?
I just want everybody to be safe out there and just continue to take care of your family, your friends, and your neighbors, and make sure that, you know, as we move forward, that we stay united and work together so that we can rebuild our economy the way we need to.
State Representative,
Thank you, Tom.
State Representative David Brock Smith, thanks for being on this afternoon. 1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.